タラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタタララタラタラタラタタ。
Hello and welcome. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Helen.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
Today we are hearing from queer and trans community members about their experiences sewing clothing that affirms their gender and finding patterns that fit. We hear how sewing can have both a positive and negative impact on one's gender expression, and we discuss how we can be more inclusive of LGBTQ plus sewists in our sewing community.
Thank you to everyone who contributed.
Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Love to Sew. Break up the routine of a day spent indoors. Explore workshops and classes in tons of topics like design, photography, productivity, creative writing, and social media marketing.
Get 2 free months of premium membership at skillshare.com/lovetosew. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Caroline.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually really excited. I know we're both really excited to do an episode about queer and trans sewing. It's been a long time in the making.
It has been. We started thinking about this episode at the beginning of the year, and we had a lot of learning to do. We wanted to make sure that we gave it the attention it deserved and give lots of time to get the submissions for this episode from our community members. So we're going to be hearing from queer and trans sewists about their experiences, sewing gender-affirming clothing, finding patterns, shopping in stores, and interacting with fellow sewists online in the sewing community.
Yes, we are. And before we get into the episode, off the top, we want to acknowledge that we're both straight, white, cisgender women. And for anyone out there who doesn't know, cisgender means that we identify as the gender that we were assigned at birth.
Yes, and we all experience gender, but you may not have thought much about yours. So today we are going to be talking about not our lived experience, and putting together this episode and hearing from queer and trans sewists has been such an honor. So thank you for everyone who contributed, for trusting us with your stories and being so open to share with our audience on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much, everyone who wrote in and emailed and called. It's been so great to hear from everyone. We also want to say, just keep in mind that each story and experience that you're going to hear today is unique. While many other sewists might relate to these stories, not every queer and trans sewist is going to feel one certain way about things.
Yes, and we certainly don't want to put the subject in a box. We are also learning, and we don't always get things right. So we welcome feedback, especially from the queer and trans community. Please feel free to reach out to us about anything that we say or anyone says in this episode. We would love to hear your thoughts too.
Yes, definitely. And we also want to give a special thanks to past guest Shannon. Shannon, who is Rare Device on Instagram, and she also runs the So Queer Instagram account. Shannon's consulted with us for this episode. It was really important to us to get the perspective of a queer sewist from the get-go. So thank you so much, Shannon. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to our episode with Shannon, it's episode 148. Go and listen to that too. We talked with her about some of the things that we're going to be touching on again today.
Yes. And lastly, we wanted to say that we want to have more LGBTQ plus folks on the show. So please send us your suggestions for queer and trans makers we can have on the podcast in the future.
Okay, so I think the first thing that we need to do in this episode is just talk about some key terms. Some of these terms may be new to you, and we just want to take a minute to define them because I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah. So first off, queer. Queer is an umbrella term for folks outside of the heterosexual and cisgender norm, and it's intentionally broad to include as many people as possible and create a strong sense of community.
Cisgender. So cisgender people identify as the same gender they were assigned at birth. Both Helen and I are cisgender. So when we were born, they said, it's a girl, and we identify as women now.
Trans or transgender people have a gender identity or gender expression that differs from the gender that they were assigned at birth. So a trans man is someone who is assigned female at birth, but identifies as a man. And the acronym AFAB or AFAB means assigned female at birth.
Yeah. So a trans woman is someone who is assigned male at birth, but identifies as a female. And AMAB means assigned male at birth. Some other acronyms you may see out there are MTF. That means male to female transition. And FTM means female to male transition.
And I think it's really important to note here that gender transition is a private and personal process. And there's so many ways to handle transition. And you can do your own reading and research on the subject, but always be respectful of people's boundaries and conversation. And do not expect trans folks to tell you about their transition or explain it to you. A person identifying themselves as trans to you does not open the door for you to ask questions about their transition.
That's a really good point. Okay, the next term we want to define is non-binary. So non-binary gender is an umbrella term to describe any gender identity that does not fit into the gender binary of male and female. It's important to remember that there's a spectrum of gender identities that are not exclusively male or female.
Yes, and genderqueer is often used interchangeably with non-binary. A genderqueer individual is someone who does not subscribe to a conventional gender distinction, but identifies as neither male or female, both, or a combination of male and female, or anywhere along the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Gender identity. So this is a person's individual experience of their gender. It's your sense of being female, male, both, neither, or anywhere along the gender spectrum. Your gender identity may or may not be the same as the gender you were assigned at birth.
Yes. And gender expression is how a person publicly expresses or presents their gender. So this can include behavior and outward appearance like dress, hair, makeup, body language, voice. A person's chosen name and pronoun are also common ways of expressing gender. Others can perceive a person's gender through those attributes. But that said, it's important to always be respectful when you're meeting new people and not jump to gender conclusions based on outward appearances.
Mm-hmm. Gender nonconforming is when someone does not follow gender stereotypes based on the sex they were assigned at birth, and they may or may not identify as trans.
And gender dysphoria is a conflict between a person's physical gender and the gender they identify with that can sometimes lead to distress, but not all transgender people suffer from feelings of gender dysphoria.
And gender affirming, so gender affirmation refers to a person getting social recognition and support for their gender identity and expression. Gender affirming clothing makes the wearer feel at ease and comfortable in their garments as they relate to their gender identity.
And lastly, misgendered. This is when somebody uses a term or pronoun to identify an individual that does not reflect their gender identity.
Yes. So there you go. Those are some terms that we thought were necessary to define at the top of the show. They're going to come up throughout our conversation in this episode and in the voicemails and emails and comments that we received. So we hope that this helps you out to feel a little bit more familiar with these terms. And I think we should just get into this.
Yes. Let's kick things off with a voicemail from Mason.
Hi, my name is Mason. I'm from Minnesota, Twin Cities, and I saw your post on Instagram about your experience in finding gender-affirming clothing and what it's like to sew clothes that conform to your gender. And that sentence in particular just doesn't sit right for me because I don't conform to anything, and neither does my clothing. I am a trans-identified queer individual, and I have learned that for me, clothing is not just part of my gender performance, it's part of who I am as a human being. I love my clothing and I love experimenting with silhouettes and textures and colors. And when I was first going through my transition, I tried very hard to conform to gender stereotypes and going into the men's section and seeing the same silhouettes, the same basic colors and the same everything. Everything always looked the same, especially in modern men's clothing. The most out there that you can get is a floral print. And the more I thought about that, I was like, well, ladies have been doing floral print since the beginning of time. So I'm just confused as to why men's clothing is so limiting. And gender on a binary form is also very limiting. So me and my clothing, we don't do conforming. No, we don't do that no more. I experiment with myself just as often as I experiment with my clothes, and that's made me a way happier person, and it's made me able to be way more creative with myself and my art, and it's much better this way. So I like to talk about these type of things and think about them all the time, and I'm thinking of starting my own podcast soon. So y'all hit me up on Instagram, take a look at my stuff, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boy, Mason Modiste, your favorite boy. So yeah, I love your podcast. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mason. It is so great to hear your thoughts. And Mason is Bippity Boppity Boy on Instagram, and we'll definitely link that in the show notes for everyone. We do want to acknowledge that in our first prompt for this episode, there were a couple of prompts that we put out on Instagram to try to get feedback. We use the phrase clothes that conform to your gender, but Mason is completely right here. This was not the right word to use. So we definitely changed that for the second prompt that we put out. But thank you, Mason, for pointing that out.
Yes. And I hope you start your own podcast, because I would listen to that after listening to that voicemail. Yeah. Okay. We also got an email here from Esther, who has thoughts on gender-affirming clothing, too. Hi, Love to Sew. I'm a transgender sewer from Sydney, Australia. I saw your first note about hearing from gender diverse sewers back in February and again last month, but I didn't really think to message you because I don't have anything particularly interesting or inspiring to say. But then I thought that in itself is probably something that I should share. I think it's very cool and important that there are highly visible, gender diverse, and queer people in all communities, and sewing is no exception. They do a very important job of breaking down barriers and helping people learn more about diversity, and it's great to listen and share their messages. However, I think this can create a wrong impression that all gender diverse and queer people are loud and proud and want to be outspoken members of their community. I'm not a very loud or flamboyant person, but sometimes I feel like people put a lot of pressure on me to constantly share my intimate details of my life or act like a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race. Personally, I don't really see the clothes I make as gender-affirming clothes any more than anyone else probably does. Although it is a fact, me being transgender doesn't really feel like part of my identity, and it's not something I really feel obliged to share on the internet. For me, it's just a painful and difficult process I had to go through. I'm not ashamed of it, but I don't want it to define my life, and I don't feel the need for my gender to be affirmed by my clothing or by anyone else. Personally, I've found that no commercial patterns fit me without making tweaks and modifications to every single part of the garment, and the bust, waist, hips, size charts are pretty much inapplicable for me, so I've just turned to exclusively self-drafting. This is a bit of a learning curve, but it's great now to be able to design things for my own style and fit. Thank you, as always, for the podcast. I've learned a lot from it and continue to find it very informative and enjoyable. Regards. Oh, P.S. Something that's been bugging me. Cutting buttonholes with a seam ripper is totally not scary. I've done hundreds and I've never cut the thread on a single one. You just make two short rips from the outside towards the center. Thank you, Esther. Esther is referring to our comments on a previous episode that cutting buttonholes with a seam ripper is risky because you could tear a hole at the end of your buttonhole. But it sounds like they use this method and it works great for them.
Yeah, I mean, in sewing, you got to do what works for you. I still feel like it's risky, but I totally respect that you don't, Esther.
Nobody's going to make you do it, Caroline.
Yeah. We also really appreciate Esther's perspective on the subject of gender-affirming clothing. They said, I don't really see the clothes I make as gender-affirming clothes any more than anyone else probably does. And this comes back to some of the points we made at the top of the show about how every experience is unique to each individual. It's so important to keep that in mind when we're out there socializing in our community.
Socializing. Thanks again, Esther. Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Love to Sew. Skillshare is an online learning community with literally thousands of fun and inspiring classes for creative folks. Explore new skills and get lost in your creativity.
One of the things we like about Skillshare is that they dedicate so much effort into creating a community. When you take the classes, you're being supported by a community of fellow creatives, and it's so motivating to be learning with your peers.
We're looking at their Fundamentals of DSLR Photography class by Justin Bridges. Sam and I have been wanting to step up our photography game, and this beginner class has deep dives into different camera settings, but it's still short enough that we can fit it in between everything else.
Explore your creativity and get 2 free months of premium membership at Skillshare.com/lovetosew. That's 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free.
Get started and join today by heading to Skillshare.com/lovetosew. That's 2 free months of unlimited access to thousands of classes at Skillshare.com/lovetosew. Okay, next up we have a voicemail from Jenny.
Hi Caroline and Helen, I'm Jenny, a non-binary sewist from the UK, and I use they, them pronouns. So I wanted to talk a bit about how sewing has helped me in my gender journey. I know clothes are very gendered and they can be a way of expressing my gender identity, but also there's no one way to look non-binary, as non-binary people can look masculine, feminine, androgynous. But by sewing my own clothes, I can experiment with my gender presentation. For example, recently I made a couple of pairs of dungarees because I really like their androgynous styling, and because I make my own clothes, I can make clothes that I wouldn't necessarily be able to buy, and it's allowed me to experiment. Another thing is that I can create clothes that affirm my gender. For example, I wear a lot of flannel shirts, but I have quite narrow shoulders, and it makes me uncomfortable when they don't fit properly, but because I sew my own clothes, I can make clothes that really bring me joy when I wear them. Another thing is when pattern companies release gender-neutral patterns. For example, the Ilford jacket by Friday Pattern Company, which I'm making at the moment, is gender-neutral and doesn't contain any gendered language when discussing it. And another one is freesewing.org. So you can choose patterns with breasts or without breasts. There's no gender associated with that. Finally, one thing that I really enjoy is being part of the Sew Queer community, run by Shannon. It's just a really lovely place to be on the internet. And especially Sew Queries, where I can read about useful advice. I just wanted to thank you two for putting together this episode, and I'm looking forward to listening to it when it's released.
Thank you, Jenny. We love that sewing has enabled you to make clothes that fit you. And as a follow-up to Jenny's thought, we actually have a voicemail from Emmett that we want to play.
Hi, Helen, Caroline, and the Love to Sew crew. My name is Emmett. I'm 23 years old. I identify as a transgender man, and I use he, him, his pronouns. I live in Minnesota. I'm really happy that you guys are covering this topic. I've been sewing for almost 8 years, and throughout that time, my gender presentation has shifted wildly. I actually got more into garment sewing once I began transitioning from female to male, because I found that it was way easier to start making my own clothes from scratch versus trying to fight with ready-to-wear clothes that weren't going to fit my body. For reference, I float between upper boy sizes and men's extra small. After I discovered the indie pattern world and the Instagram sewing community, I thought my wildest dreams had come true. Patterns with modern style lines and awesome design details that I hadn't ever seen from big four patterns, which are always invariably too big, too boxy, too long, don't work, too much ease, not enough ease. They're just weird. But lately, I've been frustrated with the lack of masculine style patterns from indie companies. I know there are companies that make masculine patterns, but they all seem to be way too big for me, and I end up having to do just as much work as I do to adapt the women's indie patterns to work for me. So for the time being, I'm just hoping that designers will start making gender-inclusive patterns, or at least petite versions of men's patterns, if that makes any sense. I just started working on the Friday Pattern Company Ilford jacket, and I'm already so impressed. It's the first gender-inclusive pattern that I've come across so far. All the detailing that between men's and women's garments, like the button placement, if you want, what kind of sleeve you want, what kind of length you want, is all variable. So you pretty much get to design your own jacket, and it will fit a wide range of sizes. It's really, really cool, and I really hope a lot of other companies take that kind of lead and start making interesting patterns, because there's a gap in the market. There aren't a whole lot out there. I really do love the show, and I want you guys to keep up the amazing work. I know it's probably a lot to do for not a lot of credit all the time, and we really, really do appreciate it in the sewing community. It makes a huge difference. Thanks for everything that you do. Have a great day. Bye.
Hi, Emmett. Emmett is Sharp Stitches on Instagram, and we were really excited to hear from him because he's actually written into us before and has been super supportive of the podcast over the years. So thank you so much for supporting us, Emmett. And Emmett makes a really great point about masculine patterns not being available in smaller sizes. This is just one way that we can be more inclusive as a community.
Yeah, and Jenny and Emmett's voicemails made us reflect a lot on some of the ways that patterns can be more gender neutral and more inclusive of all genders. So what does a gender neutral or gender inclusive pattern look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing would be a wide size range so folks can have a size to start from and make adjustments.
Yes, and genderless description. So the language you use is really important. Maybe don't describe patterns as women's or men's patterns, but rather a pattern that works for all genders, or just don't mention gender at all.
Yeah, line drawings and illustrations could also be gender neutral.
And a design that will work on a wide range of body types. For example, somebody with or without breasts, with narrower hips perhaps, smaller bodies, larger bodies, etc.
Yeah, and bonus points if there are lots of options to customize the design based on gender expression and personal preference.
Yes. Oh, I love lots of customization options.
Definitely. And the Friday Pattern Co. Ilford jacket was mentioned, and it's such a great example of this. You can hear more about Friday Pattern Co. from founder Chelsea Gurnow in episode 137. Yeah, she does a really great job of creating this gender neutral pattern with lots and lots of options. And I hope that some other pattern designers follow suit and do the same thing. We thought we could also mention some other pattern companies that we've seen with unisex or gender neutral patterns. It is a pretty limited selection, so I definitely feel like there's a hole in the market for a pattern company to cater specifically to non-binary folks. But let's talk about some of the patterns that we know of.
Yeah, first of all, LB Textiles. Lauren doesn't use any gendered language with any of the pattern descriptions. The Fremantle pants, the Cornell shirt, the Sage tee, and so many more. Check out LB Textiles for some awesome designs.
Freesewing.org, Jenny mentioned them. This is an amazing website with so many patterns, and they are fully customizable. I was poking around on there, and it's really quite impressive. You can select a pattern, a size, and then you can adjust the length, size, placement of design details such as darts, the amount of ease, and so many other elements of the pattern. It's such a great resource and a really great starting point if you have really limited options.
Another one that came to mind was the Albion Coat from Colette Patterns, which is described as unisex.
Mm-hmm. And So DIY also has three patterns with gender neutral views, including the Tassie Robe and Jacket and the Alley Sweatshirt.
Thread Theory makes men's patterns that we've seen mentioned by sewists who prefer a more masculine look and fit. The Fairfield button up and the Belvedere vest in particular caught my eye when I was looking at their designs.
Yeah, Merchant and Mills also has some patterns that could work well for non-binary sewists. So the Landgate jacket and the Heroine jeans are just a couple that we saw that we thought would work.
Mm-hmm. And we want you to tell us your favorites, because we'd love to do a follow-up on Instagram or in a future episode to share some of your favorite gender neutral pattern designs, or maybe even what you'd love to see on the market as a gender neutral design. As Jenny said, there's no one way to dress when you're non-binary. Gender neutral can often conjure up images of a more androgynous or more masculine design, but you can identify as non-binary, want gender neutral patterns, and, you know, wear dresses. But the important thing is what you're wearing makes you feel amazing.
Okay, on that note, we have a comment from Social Distance on Instagram. You can put a ball gown on anybody, and sewing helps you create the gown that is needed. Clothes actually don't have gender, which is so freeing. And bodies aren't made ball gown or trouser shaped. We just create gowns or trousers for our varied and variable bodies. I'm learning as I go. I want to make drag queen outfits, and I want to make gender neutral linen garments and everything in between and beyond. I think that for queer people, sewing offers total freedom. I decide how to butch up a gown or glam up a bow tie. I think we all craft our gender, and sewing is just one amazing way to do that.
Thank you for this perspective. And it's so true. Clothing does not have to be gendered. Clothing itself, a garment, does not have a gender. It's just a thing, right? Anyone can wear a dress. Anyone can wear a bow tie. And that's the beauty of having the freedom to clothe ourselves.
Yeah. And sewing takes it to a whole other level because it gives us the freedom to make any type of garment, regardless of its intended purpose, fit our bodies.
Yes, for sure. Okay, let's play a voicemail now from Rachel.
Hi, Helen and Caroline. My name is Rachel. I am a violin maker and restorer in New York City, and I wanted to tell you guys about my experience starting to sew my own clothes as a non-binary person. So as a kid, I was definitely a tomboy, and around middle school, I started really hating shopping for clothes. I felt like clothes that popular girls were wearing were too girly, and girls' jeans were tight and not comfortable, and I just didn't like them. So I tried to dress in a way that I did like, but I never really felt good about the way I looked, especially because boys' clothes didn't really fit well. So I would just end up wearing baggy pants and t-shirts and sometimes get made fun of. So it wasn't great. And so I would try to wear girls' versions of things like button-ups that would look more masculine, but I still had a lot of fit problems because in order to get a shirt to fit my arms and shoulders, I had to size up, but that would give me this really boxy, frumpy look, and it just actually made me feel worse. So the first big revelation happened 8 years ago when I met my now wife, Gabriella, and came out as a lesbian. And through her, I basically discovered that I was actually allowed to wear whatever I wanted, and that I could get a men's haircut and wear a tie, and that there were other people who also wanted to dress that way, and it was really a complete game changer for me and for my whole sense of self-worth. So fast forward to today, I started sewing last year after my wife got into it, and I was seeing her sew these beautiful clothes for herself, and I wanted to do it too. So I've only made a handful of garments so far, but it's just been really awesome. I just finished my first Fairfield button-up, and for the first time ever, I actually have a shirt that fits my shoulders, my waist, my bust, and my hips all at the same time, and completely pretty much affirms that if I want to present more masculine, I don't have to compromise on the fit or settle to wear ready-to-wear clothes that don't feel like they're made for me. So it's been really awesome to get to know everyone in the sewing community and listen to your podcast all day when I'm at work. It's a really great pick-me-up when things get stressful and makes me want to make more and more clothes for myself. So I don't think I'm ever going to buy another ready-to-wear button-up again at this point. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rachel. Rachel is Spitzbecker Violins on Instagram. And we love that your wife inspired you to sew, Rachel. That is awesome.
Rachel made such a great point about not having to compromise on fit or settle for ready-to-wear garments that are ill-fitting. With just a little bit of fitting knowledge, you can make adjustments to traditionally men's or women's patterns to fit your unique body. So for example, maybe remove or add bust darts, do broad or narrow shoulder adjustments, and of course, grading between sizes is super common for everyone.
Yeah, Rachel mentioned menswear button-up shirts, and that actually made me think of a Seamwork article from 2016 written by Katie Whittle. It's titled Androgynous Fashion, and it walks through some common adjustments for adjusting a men's pattern to work for non-binary folks. So for example, a narrow shoulder adjustment, decreasing bicep width, adding room for hips, these are all adjustments that are outlined in that article. But yeah, as mentioned earlier, we think there's a real hole in the market for more gender-neutral patterns. Like Emmett said, we all just serve patterns that work for us rather than against us.
So good. So far we've talked about and with a lot of people who feel like sewing is their superpower and it enables them to sew clothes that really fit. But we want to acknowledge that this is not the case for everyone. Let's share another perspective from Mika, a beginner sewist from Finland who is struggling to find patterns and clothes that fit. Hi, I saw you wanted to hear experiences from gender diverse sewists, and I hope I'm not too late. I'm an AFAB, assigned female at birth, non-binary beginner sewist. I haven't sewn that many garments yet, just a couple of t-shirts, some shorts, and a pair of clown dungarees. Sounds weird, but I do circus as a hobby. I like to present more masculine, and I've had difficulties finding patterns for things I actually want to sew. First off, most patterns are for women's wear. They often have a feminine fit with bust darts and cuts to accentuate the waist and hips, which I'm not comfortable with, or fun necklines, cutouts, and thin shoulder straps, which I do like, but I don't want to make because I already know I wouldn't wear any of it, since my chest binder would show. If I find something with a looser fit, it's usually a dress, which I feel I can't wear without being constantly misgendered. With men's patterns, I find most of them pretty boring. They're mostly just basic button-up shirts and t-shirts, which are, of course, important wardrobe essentials, but I don't want to just make over and over again. In men's patterns, I also find it hard to figure out what size I should make because I'm either too small for any of the sizes or my hips are too big for everything. Dysphoria has already caused me to develop an eating disorder, which I'm trying to recover from, but obsessing over sizing is really taking a toll on my mental health. I wanted to learn to sew because I couldn't find clothes that would make me feel good about myself, but turns out sewing them isn't any easier. As a beginner, I also struggle to see the point in spending money on fabric just to make something that's barely wearable and makes me feel bad, when I could just get something that still makes me feel bad but looks better for way cheaper at the thrift store. Maybe I should just continue wearing my ill-fitting, ready-to-wear potato sacks and stick to sewing hammocks for my pet rats. That may sound weird, but rats absolutely love hammocks, and fortunately, they don't care how wonky my top stitching is. Thank you for taking the time to read about my experiences. Love the podcast, and have a great day.
Thank you, Mika. Thank you for taking the time to share your thoughts. And first off, we want to say that your experience is so valid, and you're not alone. A lot of people out there struggle with feeling like sewing maybe isn't even worth it because they're just not getting the fit that they want, or it's expensive, or it's just not making them feel how they thought they would feel. So we do have some tips for you. The first one would be to try using thrifted fabric or maybe recycled things like bed sheets when you're making a pattern for the first time. It's normal to expect to have to make a muslin to figure out what adjustments need to be made. So don't waste your good expensive fabric on those first passes at a pattern.
Yes. And if you can, consider taking some fitting classes or investing in a fitting book, because learning some of those key fit adjustments will help you get the fit right on your body is going to help you so much along the way, the more garments that you make. And we have a few books to recommend here. First, Fit for Real People is really popular in the sewing world and is a great resource for fitting.
Mm-hmm. There's also Fitting and Pattern Alteration, a Multi-Method Approach to the Art of Style Selection. It's a long title. We're going to link it in the show notes. This one's a little bit on the pricier end, but I do own it and it's a really great book, really detailed. So if you can find it, maybe secondhand, it's a great one to have.
And lastly, the Palmer Pletch Complete Guide to Fitting is another good resource. We talked to Melissa Watson about this book. Oh gosh, 2018, Caroline, maybe?
Oh, I don't know. A while ago.
A while back. And we want to point out that many fitting books uphold the gender binary in a big way and cater to specific genders, which can feel extremely exclusive to a lot of sewists. So we wanted to recommend some of our favorite books because we feel like the knowledge shared in these books can be really helpful. But we also wanted to acknowledge that they do have that real gendered language. So maybe there's also a hole in the market for a fitting book that doesn't focus so much on gender.
Yeah, agreed. And once you get a good fit, have fun with fabric, embellishments, maybe some fun embroidery or screen printing. Basic patterns that fit are such a great thing to have in your arsenal, even if they feel a little bit boring at first, and you can customize them and hack them to make them your own once you get that fit.
Yes, and it will get better and easier with time. Sewing is a practice and you have to give yourself some grace, allow yourself some time to learn and to make mistakes. Caroline and I both have so many failed garments in our past. It really is a journey, and it's all part of the process. So you're in this club with every other sewist out there who has had all of these fails, and you will get there if you keep trying. So please keep trying.
Yeah, hang in there. Okay, next up, we want to read an email from Ava. My name is Ava, and I'm a trans woman and a huge sewing fan. My love and interest in sewing has really been a hand-in-hand journey with my transition. I began my transition in my late 20s, and one of the biggest things that held me back in this process was just finding clothes that fit and felt right. I'm very tall. Tall enough that when I was presenting as male, it was extremely difficult for me to find clothes that fit, and finding anything feminine that fit me is basically impossible. I spent years resenting this, using it as an excuse to continue putting off transition, until finally I said, screw it. If no one makes clothes for me, I'll make clothes for me. I signed up for a class, shout out to Butcher's Sew Shop in Philly, and then another, and then another, and another, and another. Of all the things that have helped me in my transition, nothing even comes close to the empowerment and joy I get from sewing. Nothing in the world feels as good as seeing a cute dress or some fun top that's nowhere in my size and saying, you know what? I'll make it in my size, and I'll make it even better. I've also had the incredible opportunity to pass some of this knowledge along and help out a few friends facing similar clothing dilemmas. I could not have transitioned without sewing, and without such a loving and supportive sewing community to lean on. I can't wait to keep learning and growing. Next up, shoes. And I can't say enough about how much sewing has meant to me.
Ava, thank you so much. I just loved hearing what an impact sewing has had on you. And we also love that you're excited about making shoes, because we are also hooked on learning how to make shoes with Amanda's I Can Make Shoes e-course. And if any listeners out there are interested, we'll include a link in the show notes with a special discount code, because it is super fun getting into shoemaking.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But thank you for sharing your story with us. It's really, really awesome to read that sewing has helped you with your transition.
Yes, it is. Okay, let's read this next comment from Quen Whoops.
My name is John. I'm queer and I love to sew and mend and darn and embroider and do fabric stencils and all the adjacent arts. I've always done mending and alterations, but whole garment construction has been a recent development and came after I settled into my queer identity. By the time I was comfortable wearing dresses and skirts, I started to notice some gaps in ready-to-wear, gaps which looked like me. So I started sewing what I wanted to see in the world. I started with a pinafore and made several over a few months, learning why seams needed to be finished as my denim pinafore frayed more with every wash, realizing I could make a reversible pinafore to secure the seams and make two garments in one. Then I turned to kilts, made a few, learned a lot more, and now I'm working with my first pattern, the Lichen Duster from Sew Liberated. Gender-affirming clothing is a big thing for me. It took a long time to be comfortable with wearing what I previously thought of as women's clothing. After settling into my true identity in wardrobe, I had a big feels moment one day when most of my regularly worn clothes, my pinafores and t-shirt dresses, needed washing, so I put on some pants which I hadn't worn in months. And the pants felt wrong, like they were not my clothes. So no more pants for me. I don't have much of a sewing community, or maybe I do. I definitely have a queer community, and I do have friends I talk sewing with, but it's usually as part of other things like burlesque and kink. There is a queer sewing group run out of a local queer haven, Hares and Hyenas, which I want to attend. Fabric shops and sewing stores have been very welcoming, but not overwhelmingly. Doors either open or close very quickly, being an assigned male at birth queer with a beard in a dress. Thanks so much for episode 148 with Shannon. It was a delight to see queer in the title and get a full episode of queer engagement.
Thank you, John. John is Quen Whoops on Instagram. John mentioned Hares and Hyenas, so we had to look it up. Hares and Hyenas is a community bookshop. They specialize in queer, sexuality, gender diverse, and intersectional titles, and they are based in Fitzroy, Australia.
And they have a sewing meetup? That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool.
So when John mentions pants feeling wrong, like they're not their clothes, it really made us think about the fact that our personal style evolves with us. And it can take time to figure out what makes you feel really like yourself. And John put this feeling into words so eloquently. So thank you, John.
Thank you, John. All right. We also have the following note from an anonymous listener. One of the hardest things about being trans in the sewing community is entering all of the shops ran by predominantly cis white women and being hey ladied or hey girled, and also having pronouns assumed about me. For example, hey so-and-so, could you help her look for blank? It's so easy not to make assumptions about someone's gender when they enter a shop. When people do, it automatically flags to me that this is not a space I want to be a part of, that owners are not being accountable to inform themselves and their employees about the violence of the gender binary, and that is not a space I want to give my money to. Trans folks make less money than cis folks do, or want to sew or craft in. Okay, this is such a valid point, and it really prompted us to reflect on how we have played a part or been complicit to this in the past. We want to do better, and we want to encourage the sewing community to do better as well.
Yeah. So we want to go through some ways that the sewing community can be more inclusive of all genders. And the number one thing is don't assume gender. The way that somebody presents their gender in your eyes or your interpretation may be different than how they identify. So we need to stop making assumptions about gender.
Yeah. And be respectful of pronouns. If you don't know someone's pronouns, use gender inclusive pronouns like they, them, or simply just use their name. And if it's a safe space, you can introduce yourself and include your pronouns. So for example, hi, it's so nice to meet you. My name is Caroline and I use she, her pronouns. This makes the other person feel welcome to introduce themselves and share their pronouns if they wish to.
Yes. And if somebody you're interacting with corrects you when you use the wrong pronouns, take it in stride. There's no need to get defensive or apologize profusely or just be silently embarrassed. So, for example, they say, I use they, them pronouns. You say, oh, thank you. And then maybe you repeat your sentence using the correct pronouns to show them that you understand and that you respect that, or change your comment or caption if you're in an online space.
Mm-hmm. And to that end, we encourage you to add your pronouns to your Instagram profile if you are comfortable doing so. And we want to point out that this is not just for folks who use they, them pronouns or who are queer or trans. This is something that we can all do to normalize learning people's pronouns instead of assuming them.
Yes. So in your Instagram profile, next to your name, you can just put in brackets, she/her, he/him, they/them, whatever you want to put in there. It's really helpful for people like us running businesses as well when we're resharing things that people have made and we want to refer to you. We know which pronouns to use when we're referring to you. And that's just really awesome for the whole community.
Mm-hmm. The next thing we thought of is just be a good ally. If you notice someone being misgendered or incorrect pronouns being used, step up and say something. I think it's important to do so when a misgendered person is present, and equally important when they're not present.
Definitely. And stop making sweeping statements like, hey, ladies, this is something that our anonymous listener pointed out. Unless you know that everyone in the room identifies as a woman, it's just not appropriate to say something like that.
Yeah. And we've definitely done this in the past on the podcast. And I know that I've done it. So we definitely want to apologize about that. And we're going to do better.
Yes. And something else that I have been guilty of in the past and thinking about a lot is emphasizing and celebrating the fact that our community is primarily made up of women. And I feel a little differently about this now than I did even just a few years ago when I entered this sewing space. Yes, the community is full of kind, inspiring, incredible women who are sewing and sharing with each other and enjoying the space. But the fact that women do make up the majority of people in our sewing community is not its defining characteristic, and it doesn't need to be heralded as the thing that makes this space great. In fact, we should probably be more wary of that, because we all know that diversity makes for the best communities. And we've been talking about that in terms of race a lot recently. Let's not shut out male and non-binary folks, people who want to be a part of this community, new sewists, by speaking of our community as a space that is just for women.
Yeah. When you wrote this, Helen, it really made me reflect and think about that in the context of my business as well, because I used to see it as a huge plus that we were all women. You know, I would say things like women led, women run. And while that's true, I now see that focusing on that could have alienated non-binary folks, trans folks, and men from applying to work for my company. And that's definitely not what I want to be doing. So it really has made me reflect a little bit about that as well.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, as far as being inclusive in the sewing world, I think there's a major hole for fitting tutorials for queer and trans sewists. And there are a lot of people out there making content, myself included, around fitting and pattern hacking and adjusting. So if you are a content creator in the community, maybe consider focusing on this in the future. Maybe you can team up with another maker in the community and come up with a really awesome tutorial that could benefit so many fellow sewists. So something to think about.
Yeah. And what else? I mean, we want to hear your suggestions on how we can be more inclusive of the queer and trans community and how the sewing community can be more inclusive. We're definitely going to do a follow-up in a future episode on this. So please do send us your feedback.
Yes. And to wrap up, again, we want wanted to give a big shout out to Shannon and the So Queer community that she's created on Instagram. So if you are a queer or trans sewist, you can use the hashtag SoQueer. It's a great way to foster this community and discover fellow sewists.
Okay, we also have a fun one to mention. You know we love creating hashtags, right?
Yes, we're creating hashtags all the time. They don't always catch on, but that's not going to stop us from creating them.
One of the common themes in this episode is the lack of information about pattern adjustments or hacks that could help the queer and trans community fit their clothes. So we were thinking maybe we should start a new hacking hashtag.
Yeah, our hacking hashtag, which is hashtag you can hack it, is our most successful hashtag. It has over 7,500 posts, which blew my mind when I looked it up the other day.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking about how amazing it would be if you could drill down within that hashtag and find queer and trans specific hacks so that people can really find the information that they're looking for. So we want to start an additional hack it hashtag, which is going to be you can hack it queer. That's a place where people can put resources, pattern hacks, adjustments, all sorts of things that they're doing to patterns to make them work better for the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah, I hope it catches on.
Me too. Lastly, we want to hear who's inspiring you right now in the queer and trans sewing community. Who should we have on the show? Who should we highlight on our Instagram? Follow along this week as we share some of your fave queer sewists that hopefully you will share with us. And thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening. That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Caroline, at blackbirdfabrics.com and Helen at helenscloset.patterns.com.
We're recording in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
If you're loving the show and you want to help us out, you can support us on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month and you will get access to our bonus episode feed. Contribute $10 or more a month and get a 15% discount code for both of our shops and a bonus mini episode. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info.
Thanks to our amazing podcast team, Sam Humphrey and Melanie Brister. And thank you all so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. For no, that's not the section that we're in.
Mm-mm.
I'm just gonna start over.
Okay.